You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Do you like friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gives you all kinds of deals with our friends on Main Street, including 10% off at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Hey students, it's done. You made it through the school year, and now it's time to pack up and move out. Remember when you got sick right around exam time and had to get that prescription? While you're packing up your life, you'll probably come across some unused or expired meds that helped you get through the cramming for that one last test. You need to make sure you return all drugs to the local pharmacy for proper disposal. Don't throw it out, and don't flush it down the drain. The pharmacy is the easiest and safest place to return any unwanted drugs. Help to reduce misuse and safely keep drugs out of our environment. This message is brought to you by the health products industry.
Hello, hello. You are listening to CITR 101.9 broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory here at the UBC campus in Vancouver, BC. The show, of course, is A Face for Radio. I am your host, Eric Coates, and it is a pleasure to be here. I finished exams yesterday. I finished my degree yesterday, as long as I don't fail any of the courses that I had. Knocked on wood, even though I'm not sure if this desk is made out of wood or not. Anyway, I'm done. It was weird. It was a little bit more emotional than I expected it would be when I walked out of my last exam. But it feels good to be done. It's funny, one day after the exam period is over and this place is deserted, because I guess it's the holiday period, summer courses haven't started yet, so there's, I guess, no real reason for people to be here unless they work here. So yeah, it's a different vibe. You are now, this show is now no longer hosted by a student. It's hosted by a community member. Anyway, the show today, we got a good show for you. We got some music. We got some spoken word content, and we're gonna start off with a song that is very beautiful. Song that I've been listening to a lot lately that I really like, and it's called Golden Chords by Deacon, one of the lesser known members of Animal Collective. It's off his album Sleep Cycle, long awaited, that just came out. Anyway, I hope you enjoy. Here it is, the first song of A Face for Radio. That is not, now is no longer hosted by a student. Whew.
Thank you. it's gone, but I'm hoping I'll try. The rain shines, and the showers, and the farms, and the fields arrange in my eyes. So I find crushing, never-ending changes, so full of love. And so you're waking to face the change in your role. And with each restless shiver, you wretch from the soul. Shake these broken cords till they turn gold. And I try to survive without that gold, and wondering why our exchange can never hold. Stop trusting in demons, you're scattered, ever lonely, but you've been so full of love. Please stop repeating your terror, you choose what you see. It's always what if and why not, man, you gotta just feel.
And we are back. The show is A Face for Radio. I am your host, Derek Coates. And broadcasting our first show with me done school. Feels good. I hope all of you are having a good day. It's been a nice month. It's been a good April. I got sick. I was sick last week. That was not fun. That did not feel good. And I've had allergies to the spring, which is a bummer. Like a real party kill. But, you know, over it, more or less. So I'm feeling good. Anyways, the songs we listened to, we kicked things off with the song Golden Chords by Deacon off of his album Sleep Cycle. Deacon, one of the members of Animal Collective. I went to the Discorder fundraiser on Saturday and bought an old Discorder with Animal Collective on the cover. And it has actually a pretty good interview with them. It was just after they released Sung Tongues. And I like them a lot as a band, but I don't know a ton of their music. You know, I wouldn't say I'm an Animal Collective expert. But it's funny because the person writing it was so into them and so excited and just a huge fan, saying how great the band was. And I feel like most people don't really listen before Sung Tongues. That's sort of I would say the album, because right after that was Feels, and then that's sort of the second half Animal Collective that got substantially bigger. Anyway, it made me want to go back and listen to those records. Then after that, we listened to the song Like a Dracula, the latest single off Jay Arner's new album, J2, which is coming out on June 17th on Mint Records. J2, pretty good song. Yeah, that's what we have for you all. And now I'm going to go keep it going with some music. And we're going to play another band that I've been listening to a lot recently, and have been trying to figure out how to write a song that sounds like them without completely copying it note for note. The band is Parquet Courts. I played some of their music before. The song is called Outside, and it's off their new album, Human Performance. And after that, we're going to listen to a song from one of Andrew Savage's bands before he started Parquet Courts. Enjoy.
Of town life, I tried to sing all the verses that I knew of it, screaming softly in a loud mic. How do I blame all my carelessness on you? Tell me, taking's mostly what it sounds like. I'd wish to sing, but I laughed because they were true, and it's seen on the outside. You saved the secrets you kept. They've risen and slept without you.
there's a voice you hear across the plains with an accent that you can't mistake. But this song, it don't take place in Texas. It's in a landlocked type of state. Now the static's humming me to sleep. On the floor, the way to beat the heat. And this is why I don't write you letters. They never mention these things. You can take another hit, but
you can try and stop it.
Try and hold your breath, it's
just another hit.
Vain, I got a grasp on my own isolation. Abridged adaptation of it. The insanity we can't escape. Losing brain cells in the Teflon flakes. I got my own way of fighting cancer. And you ain't one of them. Stealing groceries to stay awake. Sleepwalk through the house to numb the ache. Can you hide it inside your jacket and make a quick escape? You can't lie about the price of
keeping it inside.
It's not the greatest gig, but
can't you see I'm trying
not to bum you out? I feel so sick and sad. I'm just trying to hide out lately.
That's true. I know you thought you were smart. discussion you told me so the other day, but I guess you were mistaken anyways. Looks like she's coming on to me. You're special, baby.
And we are back. The show is A Face for Radio. I am your host, Eric Coates. The song we just listened to is called On to Me by Ace Martins off of their cassette Palm Springs. Check it out if you haven't had the chance to yet. Then before that, we listened to the band Teenage Cool Kids with the song Landlocked State off of their album Denton After Sunset. And then we started all off, and before that we started all off with Parquet Courts, the album Human Performance, the song Outside, which is where I'm hopefully going to be for the next foreseeable future, or spend more of my time outside than I got to this year. You know, enjoy the world. I've been looking a lot at trees lately, just when I'm walking or on the bus or driving, and just looking, it's beautiful. The leaves, and it's incredible. And I think we don't give them enough thought or time. You know, I think it's just something you look at and you go, okay, used to it, and then let it go. Anyway, Parquet Courts, great band. Andrew Savage is the lead singer, or one of the lead singers, and before he was in Parquet Courts, he came from Denton, Texas, which is in North Texas, I believe, and there he was in a few different bands, one of them being Teenage Cool Kids, which released this album Denton After Sunset sort of after they'd already broken up in 2011, and it is a terrific album. And that song was Landlocked State, a song that I've been listening to a lot lately. All right, now we're gonna do a change of pace here and listen to some spoken word. We are going to listen to a reading of Samuel Beckett by Jack McGowran. So I read the book Molloy by Samuel Beckett. I finished it about a month ago, maybe a bit less. And it was a great book, a game-changing book, really. It is one of the most unique and just all-encompassing experiences. There's not a wasted line. The book is incredible. It was great. But I also finished and was like, what the hell was that book about? I don't know if I understood anything that was going on. It was almost just like a sensory experience. I couldn't really tell you what the book is about, I don't think. But anyway, so I was reading up on Beckett, reading some reviews, and he was very close to this Irish actor, Samuel Beckett, also being Irish, but living most of his life in France and having written most of his major works in French, including Molloy, although he did translate them back to English. And reading them, they do have a distinctly Irish feel, which is interesting. I wonder if you would get that reading it in French. I'm going to try and read the book in French at a later date. Anyways, he was very close friends with this Irish actor, Jack McGowran, who acted pretty much all of Beckett's plays and read a lot of his works, and I think they connected on a level where they understood each other artistically. So there are some recordings of Jack McGowran reading Samuel Beckett, and one of these recordings that I found on YouTube is him reading the famous sucking stone sequence from Malloy, which is a sequence where Malloy, the main character of the book, basically talks about his process for sucking pebbles, because he likes to suck pebbles. It's very bizarre. It's completely absurd. It takes a huge... he spends like 4 pages. I don't know if it's 4 pages, but it's just an incredible amount of time discussing in complete detail something that is completely irrelevant and meaningless, yet utterly absorbing. And, you know, that's life. So that's what we're going to listen to now. Enjoy.
In the sand, I was in my element, letting it trickle between my fingers, scooping holes that I filled in a moment later, or that filled themselves in, flinging it in the air by handfuls, rolling in it. And in the cave, lit by the beacons at night, I knew what to do in order to be no worse off than elsewhere. And that my land went no further in one direction at least, did not displease me. And to feel that there was one direction at least in which I could go no further without first getting wet, then drowned, was a blessing. For I have always said, first learn to walk, then you can take swimming lessons. But don't imagine my region ended at the coast. That would be a grave mistake. For it was this sea too. Its reefs and distant islands and its hidden depths. And I too once went forth on it, a sort of oarless skiff, where I paddled with a bit of old driftwood. I sometimes wonder how I ever came back from that voyage. For if I see myself putting to sea, and the long hours without landfall, I do not see the return, the tossing on the breakers, and I do not hear the frail keel grating on the shore. I took advantage of being at the seaside to lay in a store of sucking stones. They were pebbles, but I called them stones. Yes, on this occasion I laid in a considerable store. I distributed them equally between my 4 pockets and sucked them, turn and turn about. This raised a problem, which I first solved in the following way. I had, say, 16 stones, 4 in each of my 4 pockets, these being the 2 pockets of my trousers and the 2 pockets of my greatcoat. Taking a stone from the right pocket of my greatcoat and putting it in my mouth, I replaced it in the right pocket of my greatcoat by a stone from the right pocket of my trousers, which I replaced by a stone from the left pocket of my trousers, which I replaced by a stone from the left pocket of my greatcoat, which I replaced by the stone that was in my mouth as soon as I had finished sucking it. Thus there were still 4 stones in each of my 4 pockets, but not quite the same stones. And when the desire to suck took hold of me again, I drew again on the right pocket of my greatcoat, certain of not taking the same stone as the last time. And while I sucked it, I rearranged the other stones in the way I have just described, and so on. But this solution did not satisfy me fully, for it did not escape me that by an extraordinary hazard, the 4 stones circulating thus might always be the same 4. In which case, far from sucking the 16 stones turn and turn about, I was really only sucking 4, always the same, turn and turn about. But I shuffled them well in my pockets before I began to suck, and again while I sucked before transferring them, in the hope of obtaining a more general circulation of the stones from pocket to pocket. But this was only a makeshift. Could not long content a man like me. So I began to look for something else. And the first thing I hit upon was that I might do better to transfer the stones 4 by 4 instead of 1 by 1. That is to say, during the sucking, to take the 3 stones remaining in the right pocket of my greatcoat and replace them by the 4 in the right pocket of my trousers, and these by the 4 in the left pocket of my trousers, and these by the 4 in the left pocket of my greatcoat, and finally these by the 3 from the right pocket of my greatcoat, plus the 1 as soon as I had finished sucking it, which was in my mouth. Yes, it seemed to me at first that by so doing I would arrive at a better result. On further reflection, I had to change my mind and confess that the circulation of the stones 4 by 4 came to exactly the same thing as their circulation 1 by 1. For if I was certain of finding each time in the right pocket of my greatcoat 4 stones totally different from their immediate predecessors, the possibility nevertheless remained of my always chancing on the same stone within each group of 4, and consequently of my sucking, not the 16 turn and turn about as I wished, but in fact 4 only. Always the same, turn and turn about. So I had to seek elsewhere than in the mode of circulation. For no matter how I caused the stones to circulate, I always ran the same risk. It was obvious that by increasing the number of my pockets, I was bound to increase my chances of enjoying my stones in the way I planned, that is to say, one after the other until their number was exhausted. Had I had 8 pockets, for example, instead of the 4 I did have, and even the most diabolical hazard could not have prevented me from sucking at least 8 of my 16 stones, turn and turn about. The truth is, I should have needed 16 pockets in order to be quite easy in my mind. For a long time I could see no other conclusion than this, that short of having 16 pockets, each with its stone, I could never reach the goal I had set myself, short of an extraordinary hazard. Give it a pinch, I could double the number of my pockets, were it only by dividing each pocket in 2 with the help of a few safety pins, let us say. To quadruple them seemed to be more than I could manage. And I did not feel inclined to take all that trouble for a half measure. For I was beginning to lose all sense of measure, after all this wrestling and wrangling, and to say all or nothing. And if I was tempted for an instant to establish a more equitable proportion between my stones and my pockets, by reducing the former to the number of the latter, it was only for an instant, for it would have been an admission of defeat. And sitting there on the shore, before the sea, 16 stones spread out before my eyes, I gazed at them in anger and perplexity. And while I gazed thus at my stones, revolving interminable martingales, all equally defective, and crushing handfuls of sand, so that the sand ran through my fingers and fell back on the strand. Yes, while thus I lulled my mind and part of my body, one day suddenly it dawned on the former, dimly, that I might perhaps achieve my purpose without increasing the number of my pockets or reducing the number of my stones, but simply by sacrificing the principle of trim. The meaning of this illumination, which suddenly began to sing within me like a verse of Isaiah or of Jeremiah, I did not penetrate at once. And notably the word trim, which I had never met with in this sense, long remained obscure. Finally, I seemed to have grasped that this word trim could not here mean anything else, anything better, than the distribution of the 16 stone in 4 groups of 4, 1 group in each pocket, and that it was my refusal to consider any distribution other than this that had vitiated my calculations until then and rendered the problem literally insoluble. And it was on the basis of this interpretation, whether right or wrong, that I finally reached a solution, inelegant, assuredly, but sound, sound. Now I am willing to believe, indeed I firmly believe, There are other solutions to this problem might have been found, and indeed may still be found. No less sound, but much more elegant. Than the one I shall now describe, if I can. And I believe, too, that had I been a little more insistent, a little more resistant, I could have found them myself. No, but I was tired. I was tired. And I contented myself ingloriously with the first solution that was a solution to the problem. But not to go over the heartbreaking stages through which I passed before I came to it. Here it is, in all its hideousness. All that was necessary, was to put, for example, to begin with, 6 stones in the right pocket of my greatcoat, 5 in the right pocket of my trousers, and 5 in the left pocket of my trousers. That makes a lot. 2×5, 10, +6, 16. And none, for none remained, in the left pocket of my greatcoat, which, for the time being, remained empty. Good. Now, I can begin to suck. Watch me closely. I take a stone from the right pocket of my greatcoat, suck it, stop sucking it, put it in the left pocket of my greatcoat, the one empty. I take a second stone from the right pocket of my greatcoat, suck it, put it in the left pocket of my greatcoat. And so on, until the right pocket of my greatcoat is empty, and the 6 stones I have just sucked, one after the other, are all in the left pocket of my greatcoat. Pausing then, and concentrating, so as not to make a buzz of it, I transfer to the right pocket of my greatcoat, in which there are no stones left, the 5 stones in the right pocket of my trousers, which are replaced by the 5 stones in the left pocket of my trousers, which are replaced by the 6 stones in the left pocket of my greatcoat. At this stage, then, the left pocket of my greatcoat is again empty, while the right pocket of my greatcoat is again supplied, and in the right way, that is to say, with other stones than those I have just sucked. These other stones I then begin to suck one after the other, and to transfer, as I go along, to the left pocket of my greatcoat, being absolutely certain, as far as one can be in an affair of this kind, that I am not sucking the same stones as a moment before, but others. And when the right pocket of my greatcoat is again empty, and the 5 I have just sucked are all without exception in the left pocket of my greatcoat, then I proceed to the same redistribution as a moment before, or similar redistribution. That is to say, I transfer to the right pocket of my greatcoat, now again available, the 5 stones in the right pocket of my trousers, which are replaced by the 6 stones in the left pocket of my trousers, which are replaced by the 5 stones in the left pocket of my greatcoat. And there I am, ready to begin again. Do I have to go on? No. For it is clear that after the next series of sucks and transfers, I shall be back to where I started. That is to say, with the first 6 stones back in the supply pocket, the next 5 in the right pocket of my stinking old trousers, and finally the last 5 in the left pocket of same. And my 16 stones will have been sucked once at least, in impeccable succession. Not one sucked twice, not one left unsucked. But deep down, I didn't give a tinker's curse. It was all the same to me, whether I sucked a different stone each time, or the same stone till the end of time. They all tasted exactly the same. If I had collected 16, it wasn't to suck them turn and turn about, but simply to have a little store, so as never to be without. But deep down, I didn't give a fiddler's damn about being without. When they were all gone, they would be all gone. I wouldn't be any the worse off, or hardly any. So the solution to which I rallied in the end was to throw away all the stones but one, which I kept now in one pocket, now in another, which I, of course, soon lost, or gave away, or threw away, or swallowed.
CITR 101.9 FM presents the Main Street Vinyl Record Fair on Sunday, May 1st, at the Heritage Hall on 3102 Main Street. There are over 50,000 vinyl records on sale, with great deals on 45s, turntables, vintage audio, and much more. The fair also features thousands of vinyl records available by donation in support of CITR, Safe Amp, and Girls Rock Camp Vancouver. There'll also be a special feature of the vinyl spinning genius of the Knights of the Turntable. Discover rare gems and stock up on bargain classics at the Main Street Vinyl Record Fair. Go to vinylrecordfair.com or find us on Facebook for more information.
It's only a dream.
Power Chord. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
All right, we are back. What you listened to before those ads and promos was Jack McGowan reading Samuel Beckett's a sequence from Samuel Beckett's Molloy called, I guess now called, the Sucking Stone sequence. And he reads it beautifully and is great. Hilarious lines. I didn't give a tinker's curse. A tinker's curse. What? Or the other one's a fiddler's something or other. Oh, man. But really, it's just about this tedious monotony and just doing it and feeling like you have to do it. But in reality, it doesn't matter either way. And you don't really care about it. And in the end, you're going to give up on it. Not to say that that's how I feel about my university degree. Just kidding. All right, we're gonna keep going. We're gonna spice things up a little bit now with first with a slow burner and then a bit more of a happening tune. The first song we're gonna listen to is called "Real Love" by Big Thief, a band out of Brooklyn, New York. That from their album Masterpiece, coming out May 27th. And this is just a really good slow burner rock song. Her voice is great. There's a wonderful almost country melody in the bridge, and it is so good. The lyrics are really heavy, and it's an emotional song. It's an emotional song, but before I get to that, I should say that I was trying to find this reading of the Sucking Stone sequence that I played for you yesterday for a long time, and then I saw that there was some guy on YouTube who did a book review of Malone Dies and the Unnameable, which are the trilogy, or Samuel Beckett's prose trilogy. And so I was like, okay, I'll watch it because I really like reviews. I like, you know, I watch music reviews or read music reviews, movie reviews, everything. Oftentimes I read stuff about reviews about things I haven't ever read, which I haven't read the original or seen the original. And that reminds me of a scene from the movie Metropolitan by Whit Stillman, where the main character tells one of the other main characters, he's making fun of her that she likes this, I think it's Emma, maybe, a Jane Austen book. And he is just talking smack about how Jane Austen isn't good and this and that. And he goes into it in extreme detail, gives her this like play-by-play of why her choice isn't mature or whatever. And then she asks him, well, have you read Jane Austen? Have you read this book? And he goes, no, I don't read books. I just read reviews of books, critiques, because then I get the critic's point of view and the summary of the book. So I don't need to read the book, which is just what a rationale. Anyway, we're going to change tune. Anyway, so point being, I watched this review. It was horrible. It was a horrible review. There's a pretentious jerk drinking, I don't know, rum and coke, maybe? Ugh, it's terrible. Don't watch it. All right, we're gonna listen to the song "Real Love" by Big Thief. Enjoy.
We'll be right back. to CITR 101.9.
All right, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, as Chastity Belt just told you. And the song we just listened to was Goddamn by Chastity Belt off of their album F, Chastity Belt. I already, you know, they're swearing in the song. I didn't play the thing. I'm not going to go overboard here. Anyways, good song. Is off their one of their first releases. Really fun song and a sort of good heavy counterpart to Big Thief's Real Love, which is beautiful, but also pretty heavy emotionally. You know, Real Love makes your lungs black. Real Love is a heart attack, not the most fun-loving song, I guess. But, you know, the truth isn't always that way. Anyways, I'm going to play a song here to take us out by the Apollo Ghosts. And this was, I think, one of the first albums I ever reviewed when I got here to CITR 101.9 FM, and I reviewed it for the music department. The album's Landmark by the Apollo Ghosts, and the song that really got to me and that I still love is called Why Can't I Be the Man on Stage? And this is the song we're going to listen to before you listen to The Real World. Enjoy.
Not mine.